You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 26th of March. So what happened over the weekend? Who sits where? And where does the playoff picture stand? The Jazz play an incredible game in San Antonio. They win one in Oakland. We'll review both those, including a look at Donovan, the fight of the Jazz, Dante Exum's fabulous performance, and what's ahead this week. It's all coming up on this edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're super and doing great. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, bringing you insight, expertise, a look behind the curtains, and lots of geeky numbers. And we hope to deliver that to you today. Show's a little later today because I will share with you every now and then during the season, you just feel like you got hit by a truck, and that's what I feel like today. I don't party, I don't drink, I don't go out at night anymore, ever really in the NBA because I quit early. But I really don't. So it's not like one of those things where I had like some raucous Saturday night in San Francisco and then just haven't recovered. But I do think that last little stretch it's nice we have 2 days off of playing a back-to-back and then flying two time zones and then coming back. I don't know. But I'll just tell you that almost never usually I wake up, have my cup of coffee and see the kids and fire up. And today I woke up and saw my daughter. My son's not back from Alaska yet, and went right back to bed. So I don't know if that's just a sign of kind of, hey, that was the week and was tiring, or I'm just gotten soft. But just I'd share that with you, kind of what's going on with the whole season. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy as well as Intercap Lending. All right, so let's go through the weekend. It was crazy. And let's look at all the playoff teams and then where we stand, and then we'll break. We're doing this kind of in reverse order, but I think the number one thing that you want to know is like, all right, so who's where, what edges, and some big kind of game-changing things took place. So let's look at Minnesota. Minnesota played Philadelphia on the 24th, and New York on the 23rd and on Friday, and got a good win, and then played Philadelphia on the 24th and lost. So really nothing big with Minnesota, and they we'll get into what they have coming up later. For San Antonio, they finished off their six-game homestand that if you've been listening to Locked On Jazz, we talked about a lot, that they really had to win five of the games, and they won six, which is really incredible, and that puts them in a pretty golden situation. They do have a tough stretch coming up here, so where they sit in the standings probably doesn't hold. Oklahoma City played Portland last night. This one's interesting because Oklahoma City had a 68% chance of winning in this, and they lost as C.J. McCollum hit a big shot. Portland just continues to kind of jump out. That's the first game that Oklahoma City has lost since February 23rd when we built this, in 10 games in which they had a 60% favorite or more. So they have been nails of winning the important games. They beat Miami earlier 76%. Denver played just one game despite being on the road, and they played Washington and won. A huge, huge win for Denver. So they have suddenly gone, and when everything seemed like it was falling apart, beat Chicago on the road, beat Washington. Now they have back-to-back games here, Philadelphia and Toronto, tonight and tomorrow. Two more days off, and then they play the Thunder in Oklahoma City. So this next three, if they can sneak one of those out, that would be mammoth for them. Portland, who had finally slipped. They lost to Boston on Friday after having lost to Houston, and a game that they probably should have won, pulled one off that wasn't expected. And so they get a win on what was a 32% win. They're 2-0 in those now. I mean, they've just been nails, and they will be the third seed. In all, as we look at it today, we'll see that they've almost guaranteed will be the third seed. New Orleans played this weekend in a game that was a no-chancer. They had a 15% chance to beat Houston, and they did not, so no big loss to them. The Clippers the Clippers beat Indiana. I actually thought, you know what? I thought last night's Clippers game, it wasn't. Why did the Clippers have a high win probability last night? That's really interesting. The Clippers had a 76 win probability for some reason in Toronto last night, which doesn't make any sense to me unless I made a mistake on my sheet. But that that is a good win by the Clips yesterday in Toronto, though they lost in Indiana where they had a 42. And they now will go, the Clippers will now go play a bunch of games in a row where they're going to feel like toss-ups. But they're actually considerably favored. And we'll look at this a little bit in the third segment on what they have coming up. But the Clippers, if Denver falls off this week, the Clippers are the other team that we're looking at. And the Clippers have, it's kind of an interesting stretch. They play Milwaukee at home, 67 win percent possibility. Phoenix, 68. Then they play Portland in Portland, which they don't. Then they play the Indiana 68, San Antonio 68. So what they do in their next five before they get to us means that that game on April this 4th could be for a playoff spot. The April or April 5th really could be for a playoff spot. Because after that, the Clippers have a 66, a 68, and an 82 as their final games. I mean, this is nuts. The Jazz just are not in yet. And who you tie with is going to matter. If the Jazz can win that, I think they win 3 out of 4 from the Clippers. The Jazz had a 24% win possibility last night, had everything gone normally. It did not go normally. The Warriors did not play their guys, and the Jazz got one of the two wins they had to get against in that win possibility. The other one was against the Spurs, and they didn't get it at 35. So as we sit here, this is pretty incredible, though. Our model is really playing out. There have been 19 games in which teams have had an 80 to 100% win probability. Excuse me. Yeah, 80 to 100. Those games have been won at a 95% rate. The only loss is the Jazz to Atlanta. Should win games, which are between 60 and 80%, teams are winning at 72.7%. Kind of is a little ahead of what we projected, right? That teams are going to win these games. Pick'ems are exactly dead at 11-11. And the one that's most interesting is games between 20 and 40%. The teams are at 46%. That's where they're really outperforming. The games where you should be an underdog, but there's so much on the line, you're outperforming. So everyone continues to considerably outperform what's coming. And we have, what do we have? We have 2-3 weeks left of this madness. And it's exactly that. It's madness. Tonight, Minnesota plays Memphis. So they, you know, Memphis lost by 60 last time out. And the big one to watch is we need Denver to lose to Philadelphia. We really badly need Denver to lose the next two games. And we need the Clippers to lose at some point here. As things stand at this moment, in the loss column, the Jazz are at 32, Denver is at 33, Clippers are at 34. Minnesota, I like the win column, frankly, with these teams because everyone's winning. So the Jazz are at, you know, I still think you got to try to get to 47. The Clippers, it's going to be, that's a little bit of a task for them. Minnesota and the Jazz are tied at 32 losses. Minnesota's schedule going home is really simple. But we do play each other coming up in a pretty massive Sunday game on April 1st. And then Oklahoma City, New Orleans, and the Spurs are all at 31 losses. Portland's at 28, so Portland's the third seed. We don't want to tie with the Thunder. That we don't want to do. We don't want to tie with the Thunder. We don't have that tiebreaker, and we don't want them collected in a whole. The first tiebreaker of multiple teams is the collective tiebreaker. So we want New Orleans and Spurs with us because we're 3-1 against them. It's all wacky. All right, let's look at the weekend that was, and how that's all, and that, or we just looked at the weekend was. Let's look at the Spurs. We'll look at the Spurs and the Jazz, and then we will continue and look at the Dante Exum's performance against the Warriors, which was really the only takeaway of relevance in that game. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. The Murdochs and Chevy have been together for 91 years collectively in Utah, just part of the bread and butter of the culture. And the Chevy's on fire. Chevy's heavy-duty Silverado with its Allison's transmission, the Colorado trucks. It's the only Chevy's the only truck line that has all three truck segments, the heavy-duty Silverado, the light-duty half-ton truck Silverado, and the mid-size truck Colorado. Plus the Colorado diesel. The unibody frame is safer. We've got a great line of SUVs as well. The Suburban, the Tahoe, the Equinox, the Traverse now has three rows of seating as well, and the Trax. Plus, you get the Murdoch Guarantee, which is car washes for life, oil changes for life, price match guarantee. You get the no regrets dealership that is the Murdochs. Tyson's running the place down at Woods Cross. Super guy. Fun. Get to see him at Jazz games all the time. Get to say hi. Had his grandma out of the game. It was great to have her there. Lifelong Jazz fan. So you can talk a little Jazz with him as well. Go up and just give him a little pound on the side of the arm. Say, hey, Tyson, he's a really big guy. So it's a question of whether you have the guts to do that or not. It's all at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, the no regrets dealer. Check it out. March Mayhem is madness stuff going on there as well. They're having a really good month of March deals for you in the final days here at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. All right, let's talk about the Spurs game. Incredible basketball game. Playoff game broke out in the middle of a regular season game. Overtime, incredible energy, fight. Both sides, Spurs just were not going to lose a fourth time to the Jazz. Jazz would not roll over. Aldridge went bananas. Super impressive outing. Really on both sides. I mean, the Spurs, a lot of this playoff stuff, you got to kind of tip your hat to everyone. I thought love Tom Ziller's piece today in SB Nation where he said, the team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs in the Western Conference is all of them. And really, nothing could be more exactly right. Nobody wants to play any of these teams. Because the fight that we're seeing out of all of them is pretty awesome. Aldridge got going early, taking shots, maybe a little less contested, but shots you want him to take. Your first choice with Aldridge is to make him shoot off the bounce. He's a 39% shooter off the bounce. Your second choice is to have him shoot outside 15 feet because he's under 40%. He's right about 40%. So they were driving, and Pop's well-prepared. He knows what to do against a big. So they were running their pick and roll to the baseline. Rudy drops down to the baseline to cut off the baseline because that's what he does. And they flip it back up top to Aldridge. And they did some unique things. They put Aldridge on the right side of the floor instead of the left, which is not actually where he usually is. He usually is almost always on the left side of the floor. So there were some differences than you might have anticipated there. And Aldridge got rolling. And he was great. I mean, he slowed down a little bit as the game went on. He was less impactful late in the game. But it took a 45-point night for Aldridge to put the Spurs ahead of the Jazz and end up beating the Jazz. It took a 35-point night by Donovan with heroics to get the Jazz back in the game. And then Patty Mills got going. So their two best players had premier days, and that's what the Spurs, that's how slim the Spurs margin is. And Ginobili was incredible in the fourth quarter with 12 points. But strategically, that's what happened early. The Jazz tried to tighten it up as time went on, but the Spurs had a very, very good game plan against the Jazz, and most teams don't have a LaMarcus Aldridge. Karl Anthony Towns causes the Jazz a lot of problems in the exact same manner. And you kind of have to hope that some of those mid-range shots are not going in. And they went in that one. From a Jazz standpoint that night, they got the offense rolling. Greg Popovich, after the game, said it was the best execution that he's seen by a team against his this year. He's a huge Quinn fan. More importantly to me was the resiliency and the fight and the determination in a game that, because Aldridge was so hot, I thought it felt most of the night as though the Jazz were on the verge of getting blown out or getting kind of run away from. And the Jazz just kept coming back and fighting back and fighting back. Dante had a great first quarter. He had 4 points and four assists, or first stint. And that kind of brought the Jazz back into that game. Donovan was uncomfortable most of the night because that's what the Spurs do. I mean, that's what I love about San Antonio. I've said this an awful lot, is that you watch San Antonio play someone and you can find out what they're trying to do to you to and what your weaknesses are. It's interesting on Donovan's shot chart on that game. Donovan got 8 shots in the restricted area. So the Spurs don't usually allow a lot. Donovan's still able to get in there 8 times. He only made 4 instead of his usual 5. He had a very good game in the paint non-restricted area. He went 4 of 5. His mid-range jumper, they just had him completely uncomfortable. He went 1 of 7. That's where he had an inefficient shooting game, is in the mid-range. And I don't think Donovan quite knows where he wants to get those shots in the mid-range. When he takes a mid-range shot, it's because everything else is dried up, and then he's just suddenly shooting from that spot. Whereas, actually, if you watch Quinn Cook last night for the Warriors, he's actually driving to a certain spot because he knows he can't finish at the rim. And so he's driving to a certain spot, and then in that certain spot, he's pulling up for the jump shot. But that is his spot. And I think that's probably a next step for Donovan. Speaking of shot charts, I forgot to mention this. LaMarcus Aldridge that night was 6 of 17 on shots of 15 or more feet. He shoots 40% on those in the season. 6 of 7. Like, come on now. Like, we need you to miss at least one of those. Maybe 2 of them. Maybe 3 of them, actually. But to LaMarcus Aldridge's credit, once the Jazz kind of took away some of that space, then he really drove to the basket hard. He had a great game. I mean, he's bona fide, and he was that good. Donovan's play late, bringing the Jazz back, is probably best described by Greg Popovich as courage. It's a great way to talk about Donovan. I talked about this a little bit, I think, on Friday's show. The burden that he has upon him. I mean, Ron Boone and I were joking about his 36 shots, and why didn't he take 40? Because really, that's where we are. I mean, our second best offensive player who can, like, create his own shot is either Ricky Rubio, who has, arguably the worst shooting percentage of any player in the NBA in the last, like, forever, until he's gotten better this year, and he's been really good recently, or Joe Ingles. And if those are your next, I think I said this on the show the other day, if you look at the leading scorers in the league, frankly, LaMarcus doesn't have a lot along with him, but every other guy has got somebody with him. Russell's got Paul George. LeBron's got Kevin Love. Steph's got Durant and Clay. They all have each other. James Harden has Chris Paul. Damian Lillard has CJ McCollum. Right? So guys scoring 20 points a game, carrying this load, Donovan doesn't have somebody. And guys are doing it. Favors had 22 the other night. Rubio had 20 in that game. But it's an insane burden that Donovan is carrying for the Jazz right now. Other note, the other one I love about that game was I thought it just brought the Jazz back together even more. I mean, when you lose a game like that, and the answer for the Jazz players was then to organize a dinner and go out for dinner the next night at a nice restaurant with most of the guys, it's kind of awesome. So to me, I think that's a sign of just kind of the togetherness and where this team is right now, that they showed on the floor, them being off the floor, and why they're winning so much. There's a really neat togetherness with this group. I just paused a minute ago because breaking news just came across the wire. The NBA and YouTube today announced a groundbreaking partnership making YouTube TV, the live TV streaming service, the first ever presenting partner of the NBA Finals. Interesting. Adam Silver, if you didn't hear the Adam Silver interview we did, which if you were on Locked On Jazz, you evidently didn't hear that one piece. But the whole interview is at Locked On NBA last Thursday. Pretty interesting on that. That's what Adam was talking about, that we need to get to a point where we're reaching out and getting to reaching those people as well. That those players have to, or those fans who have cut the cords, we need to find a, he made the comment, we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't find a way to reach them. So if you've cut the cord, YouTube Live, now you get the NBA Finals. Pretty cool. Let's look at last night's game and what's ahead this week and how the other teams in the West are looking as we continue. Today's show brought to you by Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is a mortgage company that's been in business for 40 years. They've just recently moved to Utah. I took advantage of their move in that that's who we used to just do our refinance. It was great because, if I'm really honest about it, I'm a disorganized, overwhelmed mess this time of year. And Steve Carter and the crew helped me through the process and let me get it done. When I first met with them and I kind of said, I don't know if I can get this done this time of year. And you obviously want the great rates when it's happening. And we got an incredible rate. And he says, you know what? You can order pizza online, right? And I was like, yeah, I got time to do that. He's like, it's that easy. We got some government regulations, but basically we're going to make it that easy. If you get the Intercap Lending app, and then on the app, you take pictures of your documents. You don't have to bring them in. We make it that easy. Walk you through step by step as you're going through the app and seeing it. It literally tells you where you stand, what's up next, what happens next, and they got it done. I was super impressed. They can do the same for you. Call Steve Carter at 385-800-8528. That's Intercap Lending, 385-800-8528. Here's a few notes on that. If you do your mortgage with them, they, because you are a Locked On Jazz listener, will give you your appraisal for free. It's pretty awesome. It's a lot of money. I would have liked my appraisal for free, frankly. 385-800-8528. They are a direct lender. Therefore, if you have a difficult loan because you're self-employed, you have business assets, you have multiple properties, you have outside income, sometimes that's tough. They can get through that. Let them take a look at your loan. If you've been turned down due to low credit or VA issues, have them help you out. Half their volume is good VA. They have great VA pricing. 385-800-8528. Steve Carter at Intercap Lending, 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS, number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. And by the way, you can download the app and get pre-certified or pre-qualified based on the information, and you give that to your realtor so that you're ready to roll in this crazy market. All right, our final thing today, last night's game, that's a huge gift. That was a 24% win possibility for the Jazz. We've talked about this the whole time. The Jazz had four games that are below 40% win probability that are the Spurs, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, and the Blazers. And if they're going to get to 47 wins, which is the number I keep talking about, particularly to get out of the I think 47 gets you in and gets you out of the 8th seed at the same time. You end up tied with a bunch of people and you have the tiebreakers and you then move to 6. Though Portland's really good right now. Do you rather have Portland or the Warriors without Steph Curry? It's a legitimate question. But so we're at 42. We need 5 more wins. Boston and Memphis in the next two are deemed as likelies. The Lakers at home is deemed as a likely, though it's not particularly. That's 3. You've got to find 2 more. So if you get those 3, then you have at Minnesota and at Portland, probably one of those, and then Clippers, Lakers, Warriors in your final other games and get one of those. If you look at our numbers the rest of the way, we have 2 more games that are certain wins, and that's classified as the Grizzlies and the Lakers, barely on the Lakers. We have 2 more games that are should wins, That's Boston and the Clippers. And boy, that Clipper game's going to be tough. So that's those. That's four. We have the Lakers at LA and the Warriors at home that are pick-ems. And then we got two unlikelies. Minnesota and at Portland the final night. If we can grab one of those two, it'd be great. Portland may be locked into that third seed the final night. That was my theory last night, is we actually wanted Portland to beat Oklahoma City so that they were locked into third, so they're not playing the final night of the season. So that was mammoth, because you had to get one, and that opens up the door to get there a little bit easier. Dante was terrific yesterday. Really exciting. You can see him getting a little bit better every single game. His shot is still not particularly good, but his speed is incredible. Now, it's funny. I was talking to someone the other day and used this Bay Area reference that maybe no one's going to get. But, like, there's still a chance that he is Ronaldo Nehemiah. Ronaldo Nehemiah was the greatest sprinter in the world, and the 49ers tried to turn him into a football player, and it didn't work. He played, I think, two or three years with the 49ers, caught about 50 passes in his career, and it never quite came together. Skeets Nehemiah was this, like, I mean, he was the 100, he was a hurdler and, like, the fastest guy in the world. Dante is that guy. Dante is just quicker than everyone else on the floor by a large margin. The thing that jumped out to me last night was there were a lot of young players on the floor. Nice players, Jordan Bell, Patrick McCaw, Quinn Cook. Dante was so obviously the one of that. If you were going to find the guy who was drafted in the top five, it was Dante. He's just so obviously got a brand different skill set than anyone else out there. His speed, his ability to get on top of the rim, he showed a curl off a pick and roll that I haven't seen out of him before. We swung the ball once and the defender hadn't gotten all the way back. If he gets a step on you, he is on the basket. It's pretty awesome. His shot looks as awkward and unnatural as it did prior to the injury. Okay, let's just be honest. And so that's going to be a story. Like, there aren't many guys that don't have any type of off-the-dribble pull-up game. Or, you know, he's still got just huge development. Ron and I in postcast last night got into a discussion of, like, how are you evaluating him? Do you evaluate him as a fourth-year pro at 22 years old? Do you evaluate him as a 22-year-old who's barely played? And you have to make a decision on that as you pay him in this offseason, and that's what gets tricky here. But I think that's and really there's no I don't know the answer. He's just, you know, he's had one basketball offseason of NBA in his entire career. He tears his ACL in his first one. He doesn't play the whole year, so it's still not a basketball offseason. And last year was his first offseason. You can see how much better he is. But, a lot of what I'm doing is still looking at him as though he's just this young giraffe of talent. And you're wondering how it's going to piece together. Not a completed player yet. But he's, boy, that speed is something that you don't see. He used to over dribble and kill plays. He is showing a passing proclivity that he has not shown before. His assists per 36 minutes last year were 3.3. Thus, so far this year are 7.2. He's gone from 3.3 to 7.2 on his assists. That's maybe the biggest deal involving Dante that's out there. That instead of this kind of endless dribble, there's a dribble and then a dish that's, you know, being able to create something. Pretty exciting to see. Boy, is he a talent. All right, looking around the playoff picture, let's look at the standings and... All right, so let's start with the Clippers this week. They're two games behind in the loss column. They're 39 wins. If I'm saying they're at 47, So basically I'm saying the Clippers aren't going to get in, that they're going to get to 46. They have to have a good week this week. They need to beat Milwaukee and Phoenix Tuesday and Wednesday. Portland on Friday is an unlikely, and then they got the Pacers on Sunday. They've got to go 3-4 this week. For them to get to 46, they need 7 more wins. And that would be 3 this week, and then getting 4 of their final 5, which I think they can very easily do, even if they don't get to the Utah. But they need that game against us. That game's going to just be mammoth. Denver, we already talked about a little bit. Denver's got these 3 brutal games this week, Philadelphia and Toronto, coming up tonight and tomorrow. They get 2 days off, and then they play the Thunder. They've got to find a way to win one of those games. Otherwise, they are going to drop to 36 losses. And at 36 losses, if you're trying to get to 46 wins, you don't have another loss in you. So Denver's playing for their playoff lives this week. Minnesota would be next. They're tied in the loss column with us at 32. They have a very soft week. Memphis, Atlanta, Dallas, before seeing us on Sunday. So they're heavily favored. They should win all 3. If they, for some reason, slip up on one of those like we did, it's a little bit of a game changer there. Spurs are at 31 losses. They've got a brutal week. They have Washington tomorrow, off Thunder, 2 days off Houston, and on Sunday. So they have 3 games this week. Be interesting to see if they can get one. That's good for them. If they go 0-3, they're not in trouble, but they're sliding. Then suddenly the rest of us are playing for seeds higher than 6, 7, and 8. New Orleans is at 31 losses. They have an interesting week because they've been playing great, but they've played so many games. They have 2 days off, and then they have, or 1 day off, they play the Blazers tomorrow. 2 days off, they play Cleveland and then the Thunder. They could go, those are 2 pick-ems and an unlikely. They go 0-3 this week. That's a huge game changer. They probably just get one and they're fine this week of that collection of game. And then there's finally the Thunder, who are 44-31, and they have a few days off now, 3 days off before playing the Spurs, Nuggets, and Pelicans. So their next 3 this weekend are all have huge playoff implications where they're impacting people, and frankly, other people have to lose. All 3 of the Thunder's games this week are against other playoff teams. They could knock the Nuggets out fairly easily. That would be a big one. That's a huge one for the Nuggets. They have to find a way to win that game. And then that Pelicans game, if the Thunder can go grab all 3 of those, they solidify themselves as the 4th seed in this playoff race. All right, that is the show today. Hope you're great. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.